out of these different aspects of body and mind. This is our world, material form, our body, the body of the world, the universe around us, material form, rupa, and then nama, the mental world. Thoughts, feelings, perceptions, our mental world, the world of others. Different states of consciousness, from extremely coarse and destructive to extremely refined, divine, sublime. Nama and rupa, body and mind. These are spelled out in the teachings to help develop a quality of understanding, supporting the watching, the exploring of the world of body and mind, our world. As the Buddha said, that in the world whereby one is a perceiver of the world, and a conceiver of the world, that is called the world in this Dhamma and discipline. That whereby one is a perceiver of the world and a conceiver of the world, that's called the world. So the world is not Hertfordshire, the planet Earth, the Milky Way, Amravati. The world is the world of your experience. Thoughts, feelings, perceptions, sensations of the body, memories, ideas. The world that we experience is the only world we can know. The Buddha pointed right to this. The world is the world of our experience, how our mind represents that, moment by moment. So our mind forms its own version of the world, moment by moment, from rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhara, vijnana, the body, feelings, perceptions, mental formations, consciousness. We hear a sound, my voice, the wind around the temple. We feel the texture of cloth on our skin, the weight of the body on a cushion, feeling of temperature, heat or coolness. Hearing, feeling, ear consciousness, body consciousness. Mind consciousness, visual consciousness. We weave together the world from these different aspects of perception, experience. But in themselves, they're all empty. They're merely patterns of consciousness. They have no substance, no core. The Buddha said, rupa, the body, is like a lump of foam floating on the river. Feeling, vedana, it's like a bubble in the water. When the rain falls onto the surface of a pond, for a moment a bubble forms, then it bursts. Feeling is like a water bubble. Perception, sanya, it's like a mirage, like a shape in the air as you cross the desert. A picture in air, a form with no substance. sankhara, feelings, moods, thoughts. These are like the trunk of a banana tree. It looks like there's a solid tree there. When you peel away one leaf after another, there's no core, there's no trunk. It's just layer after layer of leaves. It's all skin, all surface, no core. There's a shape, but no essence. Consciousness is like a conjuring trick, like a magician's trick. They pull a rabbit out of a hat or saw somebody in half and put them back together again. It's a trick, an illusion. There's a form, but no reality, no substance, no essence there. So these are the ways to reflect on our patterns of experience as the days, hours, minutes, seconds go by. Hearing, feeling, thinking, remembering, pleasure, pain, liking, disliking, comfort, discomfort. These are patterns of consciousness. They have form, but no substance. Like the clouds in the sky, they look so solid and substantial. You go up in a plane and you just fly straight through them. There's a shape of painful feeling, a shape of a sweet memory, a shape of a flavor. There's a shape, a form, a pattern, but no core, no substance. They're all sunya, empty. Our conditioning is all around how these are not empty. No, there really is a taste of that apple, the sound of this voice, the meaning of these words, the temperature of the body. No, it's really there. I can feel it. So this is not just trying to create a kind of belief system, but rather encouraging an investigation. Are these things true? When we look at that feeling of pain or pleasure, that sweet memory or that painful one, when we taste a flavor, what's really here? What is this? Does it have an essence? Is there something solid, real? Well, this is an encouragement to explore. When there's a thought, an approval, a disapproval, and there's certainty or doubt, happiness or unhappiness, feelings of loss, feelings of gain. What's there? What is this? Is it solid? Is it real? Does it have an owner? Well, the Buddha gave these kind of teachings, pointing at the empty quality of all experience to help us to look, to encourage us, to challenge the habits that come from the ignorance of our conditioning, the ancestry of our instinctual nature, running away from pain, chasing after pleasure, protecting our property. These are the instincts that we all live with. So this is a way of exploring that. Liking, disliking, self, other, me in here, the world out there. To look. Is it so solid? Is it so real? Is there anything really here? As in the teaching to Bahia, the Buddha said, in the seen there is only the seen. In the heard there is only the heard. In the sensed there is only the sensed. In the cognized there is only the cognized. So as we commit our attention to the practice, these are the kind of reflections we can use. Seeing, hearing, feeling, the sense of the body moving, the legs going back and forth, the wind across our skin, the sound vibrating our eardrums. Patterns change. Do they have an owner? We judge something as delicious, or bitter, mine or yours. Is that really so? Is that a fact? We use these reflections on emptiness, the sunya, the empty quality of experience, to help break up those habits of giving solidity to things that don't really possess them. To challenge that, to see what's the result when we ask the question, well, is that so? This is awful. Is that so? This is fantastic. Is that so? This is mine. Is that so? That's yours. Is that so? This is a success. Is that so? This is a failure. Is that so? If we practice in this way and develop the anicca sanya, the perception of uncertainty, then as we bring that reflective, inquisitive attitude to each moment, to this present reality, then we see the result of that. There's a loosening, a relaxing of the heart. There's a quality of emptiness, spaciousness, limitlessness. When things, when our patterns of experience are seen as empty, in that seeing, notice what happens. Notice the feeling of spaciousness, breadth, openness. When there's a letting go of judgments, mine, yours, here, there, good, bad, like, dislike. When there's a non-grasping, a non-entanglement with those judgments, there's a more clear and active quality of knowing. The mind knows what's being experienced. It's not lost in the content. It knows, oh, this is liking. This is disliking. This is being still. This is moving. This is looking for pleasure. This is the feeling of owning. That's what this is. There's a cognizance, a knowing. The mind awake, aware, alive. And when we apply these reflections on emptiness, uncertainty, notice this result. Even if it's just for a moment, just for a second, half a second, there's a quality of spaciousness and purity, boundlessness. Brightness. And an energetic peacefulness. The peace of Nibbana is a peace that is a high energy. That's a peace of a great alertness. It's a high energy state. Virya is one of the factors of enlightenment. So the peace that comes with this non-entanglement, this unentangled participating in the present is a supremely active, energetic peace. It's bright, awake. It's completely peaceful, but fully alert, not switched off, not numb. To the thinking mind, these can seem like opposites. We think of being energetic as being busy, agitated, fast. We think of peace as being collapsed in an armchair, switched off. But the development of the path, the middle way, reveals how these are two aspects of the same fundamental quality. The nature of mind itself. And free of all obscurations, the mind is fully peaceful, totally calm, still, totally energized, fully awake. And these two qualities don't interfere with each other. They're different aspects of the same reality, the same essence. Dhamma itself.